Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, April the 5th. Service and love at the heart of Pope Francis's Palm Sunday Mass, celebrated in an empty St. Peter's Basilica amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The Catholic Church's Caritas agencies across the world engage in projects and measures to help the poorest and the most vulnerable during the coronavirus health crisis. And we shine the light on the life and heritage of Raphael on the 500th anniversary of his untimely death. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. For the first time in history, the Pope celebrated Palm Sunday Mass alone in St. Peter's Basilica. As Sean Patrick Lovett reports, Pope Francis dedicated his homily to the theme of service.
Out of respect for COVID-19 regulations limiting large gatherings, the Mass was held with a small congregation, mostly comprised of the Pope's collaborators and assistants. Millions of people joined him, though, via the internet, radio and television. The Pope based his homily on St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where the Apostle describes Jesus as emptying himself and taking the form of a servant.
Assumendo una condizione di servo.
We often think we're the ones who serve God, began the Pope. Instead, he's the one who freely chose to serve us, for he loved us first. The Lord served us to the point of experiencing the most painful situations of those who love, betrayal and abandonment, he said. Pope Francis then addressed the coronavirus, saying, "Today, in the tragedy of a pandemic, in the face of the many false securities that have now crumbled, in the face of so many hopes betrayed, in the sense of abandonment that weighs upon our hearts, Jesus says to each one of us, courage, open your heart to my love, you will feel the consolation of God who sustains you."
In questi giorni santi a casa. Stiamo davanti al crocifisso.
During these holy days, may we reach out to those who are suffering and those most in need, said the Pope. May we not be concerned about what we lack, but what good we can do for others.
Pensiamo al bene che possiamo fare.
Pope Francis concluded with an invitation to young people. Feel called to put your lives on the line, he said, for life is a gift we receive only when we give ourselves away. Our deepest joy comes from saying yes to love.
È perché la gioia più grande è dire sì all'amore senza se e senza ma.
I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Pope Francis closed his Palm Sunday Mass with the recitation of the Angelus Prayer, as is custom on a Sunday. He then greeted the faithful following on the various media outlets and platforms. In particular, his thoughts went out to the young people living their diocesan World Youth Day in this unprecedented way. Francesca Merlo has more.
Pope Francis began by saying, "My thoughts go out to the young people all over the world who are living today's Diocesan World Youth Day in an unprecedented way." Sunday, the 5th of April, should have also marked the handing over of the cross from the young people of Panama to those of Lisbon. This very significant gesture will now be taking place on Christ the King Sunday on the 22nd of November, said the Pope. While waiting for that moment, I urge you young people to cultivate and witness to the hope, to the generosity, the solidarity of which we are all in need in this difficult moment.
Ricorre la giornata mondiale dello sport per la pace e lo sviluppo.
Looking ahead, Pope Francis noted that Monday, the 6th of April, marks the United Nations International Day of Sports for Development and Peace. In this period, many sporting events have been suspended, said the Pope. Despite this, he continued, we are able to see the best fruits of sports emerge. So, he urged, let's launch sports for peace and development once again.
Stringiamoci spiritualmente ai malati, ai loro familiari.
Pope Francis concluded his Angelus by asking the faithful to journey in faith towards Holy Week. Let us hold close spiritually those who are sick and their families, and all those who self-sacrificingly care for them. I am Francesca Merlo.
Caritas Internationalis, the global confederation of 165 national Catholic relief and development agencies, has been active across the world in helping mitigate the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, especially on the poor and the vulnerable. The national Caritas agencies that operate under the bishops' conferences and dioceses have numerous projects and measures to support the populations affected by the virus and prevent its spread. At an online press conference in Rome this week, the Secretary General of Caritas Internationalis, Aloysius John, spoke about some of these efforts at the local level.
For example, in the Philippines, the Kindness Station, which is a small organization which has been created for COVID-19 in each diocese, is a real instrument to promote solidarity through sharing of information on the virus, sharing food and basic needs so that no one is left alone or left aside. In the parishes, they are organizing themselves to collect food and distribute to those who are really in highly vulnerable conditions. And this is happening in the Philippines. Care for the elders is of prime importance in many of the Caritas. For example, Caritas Armenia has demonstrated creativity by setting up a telesupport. So through telephone, they care for the elders. They give them emotional accompaniment to the telephone guidance. And they are also in contact with the family of the elders to support them and to accompany them at this moment of uncertainty and difficulty. Another area of focus is distributing food and basic need kits to the people in the West Bank and also in Gaza through the parishes. Every day they are giving about 500 food parcels to those who are highly vulnerable. Caritas Venezuela is organizing kitchen soup and also distributing nutritious meals for children in addition to food aid to the most needy and vulnerable. Caritas Italiana, as you know, is continuing its support on basic needs and soup kitchen to the poorest and accompanying those people who are in highly vulnerable situation. So these activities are done in a capillary manner to the parishes, which are the means for carrying out these activities through volunteers and attaining directly those who are really suffering and who are in highly vulnerable condition.
In Malawi, one of the poorest countries in the world, the president and all government ministers announced they're taking a 10% wage cut for 3 months to raise money to tackle the coronavirus outbreak. Malawi reported its first case of the coronavirus on Thursday, one of the last countries to do so. The nation has declared a state of emergency and rolled out a stimulus package to help cushion the economic impact of the disease. There's no lockdown, but schools are closed, and the government says it's urging people to work from home and follow hand-washing and social distancing guidelines. All social gatherings of more than 100 people, such as funerals, church services, and political rallies, have been banned. French police have launched a terrorism investigation after 2 people were killed and 5 wounded in a knife attack in southeast France. The attacker reportedly entered a tobacconist shop in Romans-sur-l'Isère near Grenoble and stabbed the owners and a customer. He then attacked more people at 2 other shops before being arrested. Prosecutors said the suspect was a Sudanese refugee in his 30s who lived in the town. 2 other people have also been arrested. Counter-terrorism prosecutors said they had launched an investigation into murder linked to a terrorism enterprise. And finally, April the 6th marks the 500th anniversary of the death of the famous Italian Renaissance artist and architect Raphael Sanzio, who died at the age of just 37. Susie Hodges takes a closer look at the life and work of Raphael and explores his connection to the history of the Vatican's artistic heritage.
Raphael was born on April the 6th, 1483, in the town of Urbino in central Italy, where his father worked as an artist at the court of the local duke. On leaving Urbino in 1500, Raphael went first to Perugia, where he served as an apprentice for 4 years, before moving to Florence. Raphael was fascinated and heavily influenced by the works of other great Renaissance artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo, but developed his own unique and highly expressive style of painting. During this period of his career, he produced a series of paintings of the Madonna and also became a well-known painter of portraits. In 1508, at the age of just 25, Raphael moved to Rome and stayed in the city for the rest of his life. Here he soon found himself working for Pope Julius II and painted a series of frescoed walls in the Papal Palace. Raphael was not just an artist, but also a poet, a draftsman and an architect. And in 1514 he was appointed by Pope Leo X as the Vatican's chief architect, following the death of Donato Bramante. Around the world, a series of exhibitions and celebrations to mark the 500th anniversary of Raphael's death were planned for 2020, but most have been closed, or cancelled, or else put on hold due to the coronavirus pandemic. The biggest exhibition ever devoted to Raphael opened on March the 5th in Rome's Scuderia del Quirinale and includes over 100 works by the artist himself. Unfortunately, the exhibition was forced to close its doors just 4 days after its opening, when Italy imposed a nationwide lockdown. One exhibit in honour of Raphael that was held before the start of Italy's coronavirus lockdown took place in the Vatican Museums. For 1 week only, in February, the 10 tapestries designed by Raphael went on display in the original location for which they were intended, on the walls of the Sistine Chapel, beneath Michelangelo's frescoed ceiling. Commissioned by Pope Leo X, the tapestry's designs, or cartoons as they are known, depict events from the lives of Saints Peter and Paul. They were woven in Brussels over a 4-year period using silk, wool, and gilded silver thread. Only 7 of Raphael's original cartoons still exist and are preserved in London's Victorian Albert Museum, while the tapestries themselves are normally displayed on a rotating basis in the Raphael Rooms inside the Vatican Museums. Sadly, Raphael himself did not live to see all the tapestries completed and together. Following a sudden illness, he died on April 6, 1520, which was his 37th birthday. His passing was widely mourned, and the artist was given an elaborate funeral and buried in Rome's Pantheon. 5 centuries after his untimely death, Raphael's legacy as one of the towering artistic figures of the Italian Renaissance period shines as brightly as ever. But how much more could he have accomplished if his life had not been cut so tragically short? From Rome, this is Susie Hodges reporting for Vatican News.
That's all from Vatican and World News for the moment. Do join us tomorrow at this same time for more. You can also catch the latest updates on our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.